praise thee, Lord, for thy great plan, that we thy dwelling place may be.
Welcome to Life Study of the Bible, brought to you by Living Stream Ministry. These programs are based on the ministry of Witness Lee and his 21-year-long crowning work, The Life Study of the Bible. We'll include excerpts from his spoken ministry, which focuses on the enjoyment of Christ as the divine life as revealed in the Bible. We hope that through these studies, you'll be brought into a deeper enjoyment of the Scriptures and of our dear and precious Lord Jesus. You can contact us by sending email to radio@lsm.org. or reach us toll-free, 888-LIFE-STUDY. Now, let's join today's program. In Matthew 23, the disciples asked the Lord Jesus for the signs of his coming back and establishing the age of the kingdom. And though he told them that no one except God the Father knows the exact time, yet there are definite signs and indications that will point to his imminent return. As we look at the signs that he gave them in chapter 24, we can see very clearly that many of these things are taking place today in our lifetime. So the word is clear to watch and be ready. What happens to us as believers if we are not watchful and ready? That's one of the questions we'll explore today as Dick Taylor has joined us for another crucial program from the Life Study of Matthew. Welcome back, Dick.
Thanks, Brother Chris. Let's watch and let's be ready.
Right. Dick, we have a lot of parables in the last half of chapter 24, and the focus of these verses has to do with our watchfulness and readiness for the Lord's coming. We saw this word parousia, or parousia, is the actual Greek word for coming. Review this word for us, Dick. It's important, and also what it implies about the Lord's return.
I like verse 37 in this chapter, Chris. It says, "For just as the days of Noah were, so will the coming of the Son of Man be." That word coming is the parousia. Many Christians, sorry to say, have the thought that the Lord's coming is just this sudden thing. But if you understand the word parousia, you realize his coming is a process and his coming is over a period of time. Initially, those who are overcomers are raptured right to the throne. Then his coming begins. He comes to the clouds, then he's in the clouds, and this is all over a period of time. Eventually, he comes outwardly to the earth, where it says the eyes shall actually see him and behold him physically. But we must realize his coming is over a period of time, and a lot of things happen during this parousia, this process, and this period of time. Actually, this period of time is almost or approximately 3.5 years. So the parousia is a very precious word, meaning his presence in a coming way over a period of time.
Dick, we're going to start today by looking at chapter 24, beginning in verse 32, which is a parable, begins a story about a fig tree. We saw in chapter 21 a story about a fig tree, and these two are related. So I think maybe it would be good as a setup for this first section to go back and look at these verses in chapter 21 a little bit. Verse 19 says, "And seeing a fig tree on the way, he came to it and found nothing on it except leaves only. And he said to it, 'May there no longer be fruit from you forever.' And the fig tree was instantly dried up." Of course, when we were in chapter 21, we saw that in the Bible, the fig tree is a symbol of the nation of Israel. So this verse was a clear prophecy about the nation of Israel being dried up. And that happened some years after this prophecy and continued until this century. Now, today in chapter 24, the fig tree is mentioned again. "But learn the parable from the fig tree. As soon as its branches become tender and puts forth its leaves, you know that the summer is near." We're going to look at this verse today and many of these additional parables. Let's join Witness Lee.
"But learn the parable from the fig tree." Here, the fig tree is a sign to us. This is not an actual tree. It is a symbol symbolizing the nation of Israel. Now, what happens to the nation of Israel as the fig tree is a sign concerning the Lord's coming. Parousia. Learn the parable from the fig tree when its branch has already become tender. Don't forget, in chapter 21, this fig tree was cursed to dry up. Dry up, that means died there, at least dormant there. Now the winter is over, and the fig tree, the branches are already become tender and puts forth its leaves. And this means what? It has outward move. It has outward action, activities. When this happens, you know that the summer is near. 33, so you also, when you see all these things, know that it is near. So now when we see the restoration of the nation of Israel is going on, getting more in full, we have to realize this is a sign to us.
Well, Dick, there's a lot that has happened relating to the nation of Israel in this century. Why is it important for us to pay attention to these things regarding Israel? How do we know from these verses that this is a sign to us related to the Lord's parousia and the coming of the kingdom?
We know mainly because that's really what the Bible speaks to us. So we must pay attention. Perhaps the most evident outward signs related to the Lord's coming, His parousia, are related to the nation of Israel. And as our brother mentioned, wow, what a sign the restoration of its nationhood was in 1948. I just appreciate the fact, Chris, that according to history, no nation that has ever lost its nationhood for more than 500 years ever recovered its nationhood. But Israel, after losing its nationhood for nearly 1,900 years, was recovered as a nation in 1948. What a sign related to the fig tree signifying Israel. And then I remember just realizing and getting into the excitement of our brother in those days in 67 when Jerusalem was returned to the Jews. This was a big thing, another strong sign and a strong prophecy being fulfilled related to the nation of Israel. So perhaps the most outward signs related to the Lord's parousia, His second coming, are really related to the nation of Israel. So we must pay attention to the fig tree, to its putting forth its leaves. It's beginning to blossom, and there's some action there. This means the full manifestation of the kingdom of God is about to appear on this earth. That's the summer, or the full restoration of the nation of Israel. So we must pay attention to these signs. Chris, I know both you and I are really appreciating that we live in this age. We are living in an unprecedented time because two of the greatest prophecies have been fulfilled related to the nation of Israel, and we live now. We just want the Lord to come back, and we want to be watching and ready for His coming.
Of course, our focus day by day, Dick, really is much more on the inward aspects of the Christian life and our preparation inwardly to be ready for the Lord. Yet we don't want to be ignorant either. He has given us, as you said, a couple of very definite, very unmistakable outward indications in our lifetime, or at least in this century, in the century in which we live, related to His coming back as a motivation for us. We must be those who are watchful and ready and faithful and prudent.
That's true, Chris. And yes, we want to pay attention to these outward signs, but these outward signs should drive us. They should motivate us to be those who are really watching and really ready for His coming. But we cannot neglect these very obvious signs related to Israel.
Well, I wish we had time to get into all the matters in chapter 24 in detail. We just simply do not in the half hour, but I do want to at least touch some of the key verses that we're kind of skipping over and then encourage our listeners to get a hold of us and contact us about the written information and the full written messages. Verse 34 and 35 say this, "Truly I say to you that this generation shall by no means pass away until all these things happen. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away." Now let's rejoin Witness Lee, Dick, as he moves on to verse 36.
36, "But concerning that day and hour no one knows, neither the angels of the heavens nor the Son." It's very strange. Standing on the position of a man, even he doesn't know. No one knows but the Father only. Listen, verse 37. "For as the days of Noah were, so shall the parousia of the Son of Man be." This is a hard verse. The days of Noah were the days before the flood. In those days, eating, drinking, marrying, and being given in marriage, these are the things, these are the characteristics of those days. This means all the people in those days were drugged by their fleshly, worldly enjoyment. Eating, drinking, marrying, being given to marriage. Let me check with you. What are happening today in the human society? To eat, to drink, to get married, these are needed for our existence. But don't let all these things be a kind of drug to befuddle you, to make your sensation, especially your spiritual sensation, so numb. These were the real characteristic of the days of Noah. Okay, the parousia will be just like that. Verse 40. Then, at this time, while they are being still drugged, at this time, two men in the field, one is taken and one is left. And at the same time, two women shall be grinding at the mill, one is taken and one is left. Who are these two men? And who are these two women? The two men symbolize two brothers. And the two women symbolize two sisters. How do I know? The following verse tells us. 42. "Watch therefore, for you do not know on what day your Lord comes." You read these three verses together. You can see the two men and the two women, they know the Lord. Both are believers. It is very interesting what they are doing there. Two men in the field to farm. And two women at the mill grinding. Not praying there, not fasting there, not reading the Bible there. But doing the regular job. Don't you believe that the Lord Jesus spoke this with a purpose? To show us, if we are waiting for His coming, if we are expecting to be raptured, we must be very faithful in our daily duty. We all must work diligently and do our duty properly and carry out our burden in the best way.
Dick, there are a lot of points in these verses. First, the age of the Lord's return is likened to the time and days of Noah. And then the two men in the field, the two women grinding at the mill. He makes a strong point, Dick, that both of these men and both of the women must be believers. So their being taken could not refer just to a general rapture that will affect all of the believers equally, could it?
Like verse 42 says, "Watch therefore, for you do not know on what day your Lord comes." The two men working in the field, the two women grinding at the mill, They had to both be believers. Otherwise, the Lord would never say, what day your Lord comes. These all had the Lord as their Lord, but were they watching and were they ready? I really like how you put these two things together, Chris, the matter of the Lord's coming. As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. These really parallel one another. What I appreciate there about this matter and then about the two men and the two women is this, that in the days of Noah and also in these days when the Lord's coming, his parousia is very near, people just get occupied related to their existence, even to the point where they're numb. There they were eating, drinking. So surely it means they were also working and marrying and given in marriage, all things related to human existence. Well, the two men in the field, the two women grinding at the mill, also were working in a very diligent way to take care of their existence. The main point is that as we take care of our human necessities, as we take care of our human existence, then we need to be those who are focused on the Lord himself and caring for his dear, sweet, intimate presence. As we care for him as the wonderful, life-giving spirit in our spirit, many times through the day, no matter what we're doing, telling the Lord, oh Lord, I still love you. I turn to you again. We are really those who are preparing for the parousia, which is his presence in his coming way. So we want to be those who live in the Lord's presence, having him as the preeminent one in our life, the first love in our life, and as the focus in our life, so that these things related to our existence, even things such as working diligently to make a proper living for our family, our children, etc., would not take us away, but rather would qualify us to receive the reward from the Lord and to not lose the reward at his coming. We would be those who are looking away to him, enjoying his presence constantly, so that we'd be really ready for his parousia.
Yeah, I mean, he pointed out, Dick, I thought it was very important. These things, marriage and eating and drinking, in other words, are necessities of life. They are not wrong things.
That's right.
But as what we've seen in this age and what was characteristic of Noah's time was the excess and the drunkenness or the drugged condition of people who have given themselves so utterly and absolutely to these things, there's no room, no time left for the Lord's things.
That's true. May the Lord have mercy on us. We'd be those who would be practicing to be one spirit with the Lord moment by moment.
Amen.
Amen.
There's a few verses left in this very important chapter, Dick. Let's go back to Witness Lee.
Then we go on to verse 44. My. Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man comes in an hour that you think not. Be faithful and prudent. Who then is the faithful and prudent slave whom the master has set over his household, that is the church, the believers, the folks of the Lord, to give them food at the appointed time? To give food means to minister life. We all have to learn how to minister life, food, life supply, to the household of the Lord. 46. Blessed is that slave whom his master, when he comes, shall find so doing. 47. Truly I say to you that he will set him over all his possessions. This means the Lord will reward him at the Lord's coming, right? 48. But if that evil slave says in his heart, my master is delaying his coming, and shall begin to beat his fellow slaves. This means what? Always fighting with brothers, not going along with others, to beat the fellow slaves, and eat and drink with the drunken. This means to live together with those in that kind of drugging life with the world people. Verse 50, the master of that slave shall come on a day when he does not expect. Here it doesn't mean he does not know. Of course he doesn't know. But the problem is that he does not expect. He doesn't like the Lord Jesus to come back. And what? Shall cut him asunder. and appoint his portion with the hypocrites. There shall be the weeping, the gnashing of teeth. Cut him asunder. It means what? It means to be cut off from the glory in which the Lord is. Who can say that this slave is not a genuine believer? Surely, this is a saved one. Here, it is not a matter of being saved. It is a matter of the kingdom. Whether you will get a reward to enter into the kingdom, or you will lose the reward and miss the kingdom enjoyment. And rather, you will be disciplined, suffering certain amount of punishment. So there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth.
Well, Dick, this is quite a sobering word.
What a word.
Yeah. All of these points together have to be a strong motivation, Dick, for us to pursue the Lord diligently in this age. Not in order to secure our eternal salvation. We need to be clear about this. We know there are listeners joining us each day. We've touched this a lot in Matthew, but we have to make this very clear. Of course, absolutely, we are eternally secure, but we surely do not want to miss the reward and the enjoyment at the coming of the kingdom age. So as we approach his coming, Dick, the Lord gave us a very practical way here in this chapter, one way at least for us to prepare and to be ready for him. Maybe touch that in this last couple of minutes.
This is really true, Chris. Like verse 45 says, "Who then is the faithful and prudent slave whom the master has set over his household to give them food at the proper time?" The Lord prepares us for his coming by charging us to be the faithful and prudent slaves. And the way to be a faithful and prudent slave, as we see in these verses, is to be somebody who is faithful to feed the believers in God's household with Christ through and as the Word of God. I like John 21:15. The Lord said, "Peter, I'm ready to leave this earth. And if you want to prepare for my second coming, for my coming back, do two things. Love me, get constituted with me, and constantly feed the sheep. You'll be ready. This is a wise, faithful, and prudent slave."
Amen, Brother Dick.
Amen.
Another one of these days when I wish the clock would slow, but it has raced to a conclusion, at least wiping out the time we had for this program. Wonderful points here. I wish we had more time. So I'll invite you to come back as we get into the coming chapters as we wrap up Matthew.
Thank you very much, Brother.
Our toll-free number is 1-888-LIFE-STUDY. That's 888-543-3788. Or you can write to us, Living Stream Ministry, Post Office Box 2121, Anaheim, California, 92814, or send email to us to radio@lsm.org. For Dick Taylor today, I'm Chris Wilde. Thank you very much for listening. Thank you for listening to Life Study of the Bible with Witness Lee, brought to you by Living Stream Ministry. The focus of Living Stream is the works of Watchman Nee and Witness Lee, two co-laborers with the Lord in China in the first half of the 20th century. After World War II, Witness Lee brought this ministry first to Taiwan, then later to North America, and eventually to the entire world. For more than 20 years, he spoke these life study messages, unveiling how each book of the Bible shows God's eternal plan. God, through Christ, wants to dispense his life and nature into redeemed man, so that man would become God's expression, enlargement, counterpart, and habitation. These studies go far beyond mere doctrine and unveil a personal, practical, and experiential Christ. In these short 26-minute programs, we summarize and condense Witness Lee's rich speaking. But to enjoy all the riches in these messages, we hope you'll visit our website at lifestudy.com. There, you can read all of the Life Study messages absolutely free of charge. You can even create your own Life Study reading schedule or download more Life Study audio programs just like this one, and all at no cost. Again, the website, lifestudy.com. Thanks for listening.
How can we receive the Spirit?
He, therefore, who bountifully supplies to you the Spirit and does works of power among you, does he do it out of the works of the law or out of the hearing of faith? Galatians chapter 3, verse 5. On God's side, he supplies the Spirit bountifully. On our side, we receive the Spirit. Day by day, a marvelous divine transmission takes place. God supplies, and we receive. The way to open ourselves to this heavenly transmission, to receive the supply of the all-inclusive life-giving Spirit, is to exercise our spirit, to pray and call on the Lord. Scripture, Galatians 3:5, and commentary from the New Testament Recovery Version, published by Living Stream Ministry. For more information, visit lsm.org.